Amen. Praise God. Welcome, church family. It's good to see you. Happy Easter. I tell you what, we are just so blessed to be able to worship God freely in our community and in our country. And so we get to celebrate moments like this. And as we had prayed and prepared for this day and for this moment, so much prayer went into how do we communicate the message of Jesus Christ, and the amount of effort and work it takes to be able to pull something like this off is to such a degree. But we are exhausted by the time we cross the finish line this week. But as soon as we came here last night and worshiped with our church family, it just revitalized us because we realized what we set out to do was being accomplished. Our goal for you today, our prayerful goal for you today, is that we believe if you could just see your Savior and His sacrifice and His love and His suffering and His victory, that it would be impossible for you to come and see that and experience it firsthand and not leave changed. What you see on the stage today is not just some Bible story. This is a historical event. Even pagans who don't even believe in God in general would never argue the fact that the resurrection of Jesus Christ took place. They would also be able to tell you that, yes, the body was gone and there was no understanding why, and people were confused, and many say that He rose again. The reality is that we serve a risen Savior who historically is proven that there is an empty tomb, who has historically proven that He existed and died for the sins of many. Isn't that beautiful? What a powerful thing that you and I have. The crazy thing to me is that even though that those events that happened back then and are reverberated all throughout centuries to come to us today, it's still possible for people to believe that that event took place, and for people to have wrapped their minds and accepted the fact that Jesus was a real person. And there's even people who said, yes, I believe that Jesus is God's son, and have actually adjusted their lives to make church a regular part and routine, a religion a regular part and routine of their lives. But sadly, they've missed the magnitude of those eternal events, and they never have invaded their own heart. It's possible to know in your head what took place. It's possible to wrap your mind around it. It's possible that you go to church and just say, because I get it. I mean, there's some cognitive knowledge of that. But for it to never penetrate your heart. The gospel is simply this. The gospel is a beautiful thing, but here's how it begins. It begins with your sin and my sin. It's that God who created us, we're separated from Him by sin. And God's word says that the penalty of sin is death, and that every sin, how no matter small or great it is, it requires a death penalty because of it. And so that death penalty is so big that God sent His only Son to be the breaker of that bondage, that breaker of that sin. He's the one that cleanses us from sin. He sent His only Son. He who knew no sin became sin so that we may be called the righteous. We would be called the sons and the children of God. And for all those who would profess their faith in Jesus Christ and surrender their life to Him, they would experience life change. Now, we talk about life change all the time, but life change is the key to surrender. Life change is what happens when a believer recognizes who God is and invites the Holy Spirit to be a part of their life by surrendering their life to God. And when they surrender their life to God, you all of a sudden have what God's word says about this fullness of joy. You have peace in difficult circumstances. You're comforted in moments of great crisis. As a believer, you're able to experience God guiding you to make better choices and live with fewer regrets. As a believer, you have God's protection. As a believer, you have God's provision. As a believer, you have God's purpose. You actually have a purpose that you can fulfill in your life. You no longer have to wonder what your purpose is. Children of God all have a purpose, and God makes it known to us. In addition to that, you have the power. Even though you're weak, God's strength is made perfect in your weakness, and you have power to do more than you ever could ever imagine because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. The crazy thing to me is not all believers will truly, not people who all confess to be believers will truly experience these things. Matter of fact, there's some people in this room today that would call themselves believers, but when I talk about the joys of your salvation, when I talk about the peace and comfort and guidance and provision and purpose of your life, there's still a lot of question marks that loom over your brain, and you begin to wonder, I believe who God is, but I'm not sure I believe all the promises and all the benefits of a surrendered life, of a Christian life, because I'm not experiencing these things. There's some believers that are trying to manufacture these feelings. They're trying to, I guess, fake it until you make it. They'll never know what it means to truly experience God in worship. As some of you are sitting here today, as others are worshiping around you, you feel more like a spectator than you do a participant in that worship. There's some here today that will never understand what it means to have his peace and his comfort right now. They're like, okay, I get it. I can make myself feel that way, but I don't sense that it's coming from something greater than myself. For some here today, you've never felt his presence or heard his still small voice speaking to you, guiding you when two roads are diverging and you don't know what to take. And for many in the room, you don't have a burden for the lost. And although if someone asks you, do you, you'll say yes, because you can manufacture the appropriate answer. But deep down inside, there's just something inside of you that says, I don't know if I really care. You see, there is a huge problem, because how does this happen? How this happens is that what happens up in here has got to get here. Just like Jesus, what happened in the tomb didn't stay in the tomb, it came out of the tomb. What happens up here in the tombs of our brain and our belief and our mind has to transfer into our heart. And when it does, that belief will prompt an action. And the appropriate action that comes for a believer is when you have your faith and belief in who Jesus Christ is, the natural progression is for you to surrender your life. Once you see what God's done for you, once you understand how great your sin debt was, that he paid in love, and even though that we were still sinners, man, didn't you just hate those soldiers? I mean, as those soldiers are mocking my Lord, even though this is a reenactment today, I found myself wanting to punch church members that are playing soldiers. I don't know. It's just a weird feeling, right? But just think about this. The people that were hurling insults, Jesus still loves them and says, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. This belief required surrender. Now, in Luke's gospel, I want to share something I never noticed before, and it just was so cool when I found it, and I hope that this is something today that would just spark in your mind. But Jesus understood, and he was trying to explain to us that there's something it's not just about saying I believe in something, but that belief needs to have the action of surrender. Sadly, for my entire generation that I can remember, I'm growing up in church, and probably you have too, where the pastor, or you go to a conference or some big stadium event, and they have this prayer that everyone they want to recite, and at the end of you reciting this prayer, they all celebrate and begin to count heads of the number of people that were saved so they can put that on their tally sheet to say, this is how many people became saved tonight. But I'm here to tell you, becoming saved and having a relationship with Jesus Christ is more than just reciting a prayer. Because many people in this room, even those that would not even consider themselves Christians, could probably say, yeah, I believe that happened. And it's not just about a belief. It settles down. It needs to settle down your heart. What happens up here has to get here. And you will know that it is here when there is a desire in your heart and a prompting in your heart to surrender your life. That's what God's brought you here today to hear. It's not about what's up in your head. It's did it land in your heart, and is it evidenced by surrender? Here's what Jesus says to his disciples. Early in his ministry, he begins to predict his death, but before he predicts his death, he wants the disciples to know, who do you say I am? Up in your head. Who have you figured out that I am? Listen to what he says. Once Jesus, in verse 18, Luke 9, once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked the guys, he says, who does the crowd say that I am? What's everybody saying about me? And they said, well, some think you're John the Baptist, and others think you're Elijah, and still others think that you're one of the prophets from long ago that has come back to life. And he's like, yeah, I know there's a lot of stories about who I am, but boys, who do you say that I am? And in Luke's gospel, he says, what about you? Who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, you're God's Messiah. In other translations and other gospels, Peter will say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's the testimony that Jesus says, upon that rock, upon that confession, Peter, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Glory to God that we're still experiencing that today. The power of that testimony, just saying and confessing who it is. And so now follow me. This is what I missed for so many years, and it just jumped off the page at me as I was preparing for Easter, is that Jesus, first and foremost, and the same thing happens to you, he just wants to know, who do you say I am? Is there a belief inside your head? And have you wrapped your mind around the fact that Jesus is God's son and that he came to die for the sins of the world? Have you wrapped your mind around that? If you have, you're halfway home. Because one of the biggest steps of faith for so many people that I counsel with privately is they have a hard time saying, oh, I can't believe that Jesus is God's only son. But maybe you're here today and you can buy that. You can wrap your mind around that. Yes, it takes some faith to understand it, but wrap your mind around it. It's essential to our faith. But it doesn't stop there. And Jesus demonstrates that. So follow me. There's three different things that happens. The first thing is he goes, who do you say I am? Do you believe who I am? And they're like, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. You're God's Messiah. And he goes, okay, good. So now that you know who I am, I'm going to tell you what I'm getting ready to do. Because if you know who I am and what I'm getting ready to do is going to be that much more significant and heavy. I am God's Messiah. I am the Son of the Most High God. I am his only begotten Son who came into this earth for one purpose, and that purpose was to surrender my life. And here's what he tells his disciples. He said, the Son of Man, verse 22, must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed, and on the third day, he's going to rise again. He says, you know who I am, right? You know I'm God's son, and I came here for a purpose. You know what that purpose was? I came to surrender my life. And when the proverbial junk hits the fan, and when everything starts going crazy, and you guys want to run for your lives, as a matter of fact, you're going to scatter, and one of you is going to betray me, one of you is going to deny me, he'll go on to say, as he's going on this explanation and communicating these things, he wants them to know that when all this stuff goes down, I don't want you to be freaked out, because it's a plan. It will look like that they are taking my life by force, but in fact, I am giving it freely. Don't miss that point. Who do you say I am? And you know that I'm going to give my life. I'm going to surrender my life because that's what I came to do. Are you catching that? So here's the third thing. He says, you know who I am. And you know what I've come to do and the magnitude of that. But now it's you. I need to turn to you. You've already confessed who you say I am. But now I need you to also surrender your life. And here's what he says to his disciples. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. They must take up their cross daily and follow me. Because whoever wants to save their life is going to lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. So what good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their self or their soul, in some translations it'll say. He's saying, look, you know who I am and you know what I'm getting ready to do. And for this gospel message to go to get to generation upon generation upon generation to land at the North Point Church in this year, for this crowd of people, for those people who are still seeking to understand what took place here, they need people who are going to be the founders of the faith, who are going to be able to surrender their life just like I did and take up your cross. Imagine what it was like for him to say, take up your cross. Because back then it wasn't a symbol of Christianity. It wasn't a beautiful kind of word picture that talks about a hard sacrifice. It was a tool of execution. Hey, Jesus, what kind of cult are we doing now? What happened here? What kind of right turn did we just turn? What do you mean take up our cross daily? This is getting real uncomfortable. But the fact is, Jesus was letting him know, that's how I'm going to die. And when Jesus took up his cross, he knows that there was no plan B. There was no turning back. There was no opportunity for him to do anything else but to finish what he's called to do. And that's what he's saying to the disciples. If you want to be my disciple, you've got to take up your cross. And once you take up that cross and you need to do it freely, you need to surrender to it. I'm not going to force you to do it. But if you want to be my disciple, you've got to pick up that cross daily and follow me. You need to do it freely and of your own choice. But once you put your hand to that cross, there's no turning back. What Jesus is trying to communicate to his disciples is the same thing that still needs to be communicated to churches today. It is not about reciting a prayer that a pastor tells you to pray. It is about a prayer, but it's about a prayer to confess your belief in God and surrender your life to him. Those two things have to happen in order for you to experience all the joys and all the blessings and to have the power of the Holy Spirit move inside your heart. As long as your life exists, there is no room for the Holy Spirit to come in and take over. You have to not try to keep your life because you'll lose it. There's so many Christians right now who, in their head and in their minds and in their disciplines, their weekly routines, coming to church, they're trying to keep their life. I have my church kind of thing, and then I've got the rest of my life. It's not a surrendered life. And then you come into a place like this, and you try to worship, and people seem to be getting it more than you, and you wonder, why is she seeming so, like, overjoyed? Is she got something different? What does she have? And I'm telling you what those type of people have is that they just have surrendered their life to let God radically transform them and to change them. It's a daily, constant process of letting that cross stay with you to say, what do I need to surrender to? What do you want to do in me, and what do you want to do through me, God? That's what a true follower of Jesus Christ is doing every single solitary day. What do you want to do in me, and what do you want to do through me? Because the sacrifice that you did for me was so big and so powerful and so great. It's all that I ever want to do is just give my life to serve you. You have the wheel. You have full control. That's what it looks like to surrender your life to God. God's never promised that a surrendered life would be everything easy. It may be painful at times, and you are still going to suffer personally from time to time. You will suffer naturally in sicknesses and illnesses and disease, and you will suffer spiritually with attacks that they come. But a surrendered life understands that those things are there, and they're only for a little while, because one day, when Jesus Christ is revealed, all of our labor and toil will be worth it. Whew, man, I just don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to miss it. Because in God's word, it says this, that in the final days, in that moment of judgment, there's going to be a group of people, the saddest group of people that has ever existed, who are going to stand there on the throne of judgment, and they're going to say, Lord, I've done this, and I've been to church, and I raised my kids at the church, and I was able to, you know, I prayed that prayer when I was this kid. And he's going to say, depart from me, because I never knew you. Do you understand what the Bible is trying to tell us? Is there going to be a group of people who think that they're okay, who have missed the mark? And so I guess this Easter Sunday, what I'm just trying to communicate to you is I don't want anyone in our church not to hear the truth presented from this stage to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. It's not about reciting a prayer. It's about praying to God, inviting Him to be your Lord and Savior, and surrendering your life. When you do that, the Holy Spirit will come inside of you, and you will experience life change like you've never experienced before. Some of you, even adult Christians that I would say are mature people and the mature church people, need to understand that maybe today is a day that you need to surrender your life. Don't be so prideful to say, I was on the cradle roll of this church, or I've been in church all my life. Look, if you're manufacturing your feelings and trying to create an emotion when you come into this place, and there's not something inside of you that's stirring, that's saying the Holy Spirit is clearly alive in me, He was transforming me daily, and I'm doing and serving His purposes, and I have a burden for the lost people. If you're missing some of those pieces, you've got to figure out what is it that you've not surrendered. Because for some of you, you're holding on to your life tightly. For some of you, you've let go part of your life, and God's saying, I want all of your life. You take up your cross, you need both hands to do this. So lay yourself out there, let me radically transform who you are. I also know in our room today, there's people that are here with friends and family who I'm not sure would call themselves believers. But you got a chance to see for the first time today something that is absolutely compelling. Why would anybody die for someone else? Why would anyone willingly give their life for someone else? And if you've heard anything I've said today, please hear that Jesus Christ is God's Son. He says, who do you say I am? And I believe He's Jesus Christ, God's only Son. He's God's Messiah. And He willfully laid His life down. And you know why He did it? He laid His life down for you. Even those that don't have any interest in Him, He laid His life down for you. Even those that made major mistakes in their lives and are currently caught up in some web of sin, maybe there's just something gripping you right now and you're like, no, that's wrong, but you don't know how to get away from it. God is a chain breaker, and He can break chains of addictions. He can break strongholds in your life. He can repair marriages. He can correct your path. But the biggest thing is He can forgive you for your darkest secrets and your deepest regrets and the weight of the heaviest shame. So let me ask you a question. For those people that aren't necessarily, we call themselves believers, are you satisfied with where your life is right now? Or is there something inside of you that just seems like there's an emptiness and a desire and a want for something more that is an itch you can't scratch? Is there something inside of you that there's just this emptiness that you just can't seem to fill? Is there something inside of you that today there was something in you that was saying there's something truthful about that? You see, inside every one of us, there's a desire for truth. We just want to know what is really the truth. But as you watch this happen today, and as you watch this worship and experience this time together, did you feel anything inside your heart? And if you did, I want you to know what that was the Holy Spirit nudging you. God has something called a moral persuasive power. The Holy Spirit is drawing all men to him. He's shouting it at you. You may not even perceive it, but he's shouting it at you with creation. He's shouting it at you with your family. He will shout it at you when you read his word, but it's not a shout as a yell. It's a shout as a cry. He's saying, come to me, all you who are weak and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. I will trade your sorrows for joy. I will replace your messed up life with a meaningful life. I will turn your mourning and your depression into dancing. I will take your sickness and I will bring you into healing. I will take your brokenness and I will bring restoration. I will take your addictions and I will bring you recovery. I will take your deceit and I will make you a person of integrity. When you and I place our trust in God, we also experience his love and his mercy and his grace, because all those things are unfailing. And we get to experience that joy and that peace and that protection that I was talking about. I mean, I could list on and on about all the things that God would do. But when you surrender your life to God, you move from death to life. Out of the ashes of defeat, the resurrecting King can resurrect you. He calls your name and you can walk just like Lazarus out of the grave of your life. Because if you don't make a change or an adjustment, you will suffer a consequence separated from God from all eternity in a place called hell. Don't let your motivation be to avoid hell. It means your motivation for the sacrifice and surrender that God gave you. I'm going to believe and I'm going to surrender my life. And you will cross over from shame to grace. You will cross over from death to light. You will cross over from darkness to light. You will cross over from judgment to forgiveness and from fear into faith. I mean, good, I could go on for an hour with all the things. And I know that you can experience those. And you won't have to manufacture those. You will have a peace that is beyond your understanding, God's word says. Christians in the room know what I'm talking about. But listen also, I know there's Christians in this room. I know people who claim to be Christians and who are listening to what I'm saying going, maybe I've got this wrong. If the Holy Spirit's putting his finger on your heart today going, maybe I've not surrendered my life. Maybe there is some type of disconnect. Then I just want to encourage you, do not let today pass by without surrendering. You know how easy it is. If you're a church person but feel like something's not right in your relationship, double check to make sure you've surrendered your life. And if you have surrendered your life and you just kind of fell back into a former pattern of sin, today for you it's a call to repentance and come back home. Maybe you're the prodigal that just needs to be restored back to Christ today. Surrender your life. And lastly, for those that are here that are fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ, I know you exist. This church is full of people who I can see evidence of the Holy Spirit on. And what I'm asking you today is it's time for you to rise up. It's time for you to take the responsibility, this great responsibility that you and I have. I believe that I'm not saying this to build emotion. I believe that we are living in the final generation of this world. How could it not be with the way the world is just going downhill? God judged Sodom and Gomorrah for less than what is happening in our world today. Are you following that? There's no way that God is not on the edge of his chair, ready to bring us all home. And as Christians right now, we are that final generation, and we need to have the same level of faith and the same level of surrender that the disciples had back in that upper room when Jesus was talking to them. We need to have that same level of willingness to take up our cross and not try to save our lives, but to give it. So no matter what kind of persecution you face, no matter what kind of hardship may come, no matter how much it makes you feel uncomfortable, no matter what the cost is, you need to lean on the power that lives inside of you and believe with everything in you that God has the power to use you beyond what you're capable of thinking you can do. He has raised you up for a purpose, and that purpose right now is for us and for me and for this church to tell our community. It's about knowing what this guy did. Jesus Christ came, God's Son, died for us. And it's not just about having a head knowledge about that. It's about surrendering our lives. Would you bow your heads with me? I just want to ask you a question. We got to go. But if you're here today with no one looking around, please, just with everyone's eyes closed, I want you to have an opportunity to be able to be candid with God. If you're here today and you've never surrendered to Jesus Christ, you've never placed your faith and trust in Him, and you want to do that today, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you come forward. I'm not going to call your name, and I won't do anything to make you uncomfortable. All I want you to do is you can do it as subtly as you want. I want you to raise your hand and say, I want to know that. I want to have that peace. Praise God. Praise God. Anyone else? Anyone else? Praise God. Anyone else want to give their heart to God today? Praise God. Amen. Praise God. In addition to that, thank you, can put your hands down. In addition to that, believers, with no one else looking around, if you're a church-going person, but you think maybe I haven't surrendered my life, and today you want to make sure you get that right with God, and you want to surrender your life, would you just slip your hand up? I want to surrender my life to God. Praise God. Thank you for the courage to do that. Thank you. Thank you for the courage to do that. Anyone else this morning just says, I just want to surrender. I just want to know for sure that I got this right. Because I'm afraid that I may have just had it up in my head, but I want to make sure that I'm surrendering my life, and today you want to do that. Anyone else, raise your hand, please. Praise God. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Church family, stand with me. Stand with me. I want to pray with you. All around this room, people raise their hands for different types of decisions. And what I need you to do is I need you to pray for one another. Pray for God to do a radical and wonderful thing between us. Pray that for those people who made the decision to follow Jesus Christ, that if that's you today, what you need to do is you just simply need to pray in your own words to surrender your life to God. It's your words, not my words. It's your words. I want to pray for you, then we're going to sing one final song. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this moment. It's my sincere prayer, Lord, that those people who made decisions to follow you for the first time today, and for those people here today that are making decisions to finally surrender their lives, I pray, God, that you would be glorified in their lives and their decisions. Let them feel your presence, let them feel your power, and let them understand that what they did today was real, Father, if they truly surrender their life to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We'll